And this is Chuck Wolf. You're listening to The Emotion Roadmap. Take the wheel and control how you feel. It's just a pleasure to see my friend, Carl Frano, who's going out the door, enjoying this lovely day.
Is it lovely outside?
Yeah, it's beautiful out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's actually spectacular. It's one of those tens, I think, you know, another nice day, yeah.
Have a great show.
Thank you, Carl.
See you in August?
Yeah, I'm here the first and second Wednesdays of the month these days. Okay, take it easy, Carl. So if you have something you want to call me about, the number is 203-336-9756. The show's The Emotion Roadmap. Take the wheel and control how you feel. Take the wheel and control how you feel. So one of the things I'd like to start with today is, first of all, just saying thank you to everybody that tunes in. I want to thank everybody that is a fan of the show and has nice things to say about our show and about WPKN. And we just finished our fiscal year, and we're finishing in really good shape, thanks to a lot of efforts from a lot of volunteers. I'd like to thank all the volunteers, and like to thank the board of directors and our general manager, Steve DeConstanza, who's hopefully enjoying a lovely vacation in Provincetown. hope you're having a great time, Steve, in case you're listening. And I just want to welcome everybody to the show who might be a new listener. The show's all about community strip, where community members, you and anyone else that might be listening, calling in with something that might be challenging you, that might be upsetting to you, might cause you some uncertainty, some doubt. It's all about a show where I take what I've learned about emotional intelligence, the science and the art, after years of being a therapist, after years of being a leadership consultant and an executive coach, and I want to make it come alive for each of you that are listening. I believe that if you listen long enough and you pay attention to the things that we talk about, and if people are kind enough to call in and share what's going on for them, that everybody benefits by learning how to use the emotion roadmap. Hey, we've got our first caller. This is Chuck Wolf. You're on the air. Who am I talking to?
Hey there, we'll call myself Scotty.
Okay, Scotty, thanks. How you doing today, hey, Scotty?
Everything is great. You know, what a beautiful 4th of July, I guess, middle of the week weekend
right.
Out here, weather-wise. And, you know, a lot of things go down. Have 4th of July parties, including a lot of fireworks and a lot of alcohol, too.
Right.
And I was witness to... I myself had to give up the booze about close to 5 years by now. Every day's been a struggle, but, you know, anger and alcohol don't really mix too well. And I saw a couple of things that just kind of disturbed me of, you know, just people's actions when they're feeling full of themselves and full of booze and then decide to just kind of take it out on the rest of the crew.
You know, it's a funny thing, Scotty, I guess I'll call you. Too much alcohol, it's, you know, I guess at the time you're consuming it, it seems like a good idea, or why do it? Or maybe you have no choice and you feel like you're, you know, it's an addiction and you just feel like you're not okay unless you have too much alcohol or a lot of alcohol. And you feel like you're in control. And then I know what you're speaking about, because I actually thought about, you know, talking a little bit about that, because sometimes around holidays, people, you know, get drunk and and then, you know, then all of a sudden the discourse, the enjoyment, the fun times together, they kind of slip away as people get angry with one another because they're not really listening. They're just kind of yelling. I don't know. Is that kind of the experience you had?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's just, for example, somebody coming to a party with a bunch of stuff underneath their belt, we'll say. And then, but everybody's enjoying the time. And then once the drinks start rolling, well, you know, it opens up those floodgates and then absolutely makes it a very uncomfortable time for the rest of us partygoers who would just like to enjoy the beautiful time. And it's almost just like people who blatantly, what I used to do was I used to drink a lot and get on the computer. Not good, because once you press that send button, there is no taking that back. Like people who get hammered up.
Yeah, I don't mean to laugh.
Things on Facebook.
I don't mean to laugh, but you know, one of the things that when I'm out there working and I'm trying to teach people about the power of being in charge of your emotions as opposed to just letting things rip. You know, so what are the things that I talk about is sometimes, you know, even when you're not drinking, but you're just exhausted and you're trying to finish up and you got an email that makes you angry and you respond to it. You're talking about things like Facebook and other and what you might tweet or what you might or message you might send. But even on emails, you know, sometimes, you know, one of the things that I learned early on was, you know, you can say whatever you want on these things and then press that send button and then you got maybe a week or a month or more to clean it up, you know, right?
Yeah. Oh, so many times I've woken up the next day and said, please don't let me have done that. Oh my gosh. We have that problems with the highest of authorities today's crazy, surreal, really messed up, real TV world we're living here. It's just nuts.
Yeah.
And so I felt compelled. I very much appreciate your show. I listen to you all the time. You don't hear from me except for today, but we're out here. I appreciate you having this show on here.
Thank you so much, Scotty. It's very nice. It's very nice to hear you say that. You know, every once in a while, I have somebody call in who is a regular listener, and I do hear nice things about the show, and it's great. It's great to have you make that call. It's very reinforcing for me because one of the things actually that makes my day, Scotty, is to have somebody feel like something I'm doing is making a difference for them. And
oh, absolutely! I'm sure you've sat there, and there has been no calls rolling in. Yeah. I've heard you actually, and so many times I've wanted to call. And, you know, just say, we're out here, we're listening, man, you're doing a great job. But, you know, and some days not. But it's just, I just like to just put it out there. Think before you type. How's that? And then before you go to a nice family gathering or whatnot, if there's issues, well, just sort of maybe keep that between you and that person at a later time and let everybody else enjoy the scene.
Yeah, you know, one thing I'd add to that, Scotty, and I appreciate the wisdom in what you're saying, I'd add something that if you do see that somebody is drunk too much and they say something that you think is just wrong, I think it's important to let it ride to the extent that you can. I mean, you know, there's things that you can't let ride sometimes, but to engage them when they're off and you know they're off because of what they've been doing, you know, whether it's drugs or alcohol, you're just kind of looking for trouble.
Absolutely.
I actually read something this morning that I wanted to share anyway on the show. It was there's a fellow in my field in emotional intelligence. The guy's name's Dan Goleman. And Dan's one of the guys that I follow on Twitter because I do pay attention to Twitter. It's not something I look at a lot, but I do pay attention to it. And Dan had something on about attunement. He says it's when you get past just a moment of empathy and you really spend time trying to really understand another person, really focusing on another person. And what you're looking for is rapport with that person. And sometimes if you catch that person that they're off, I mean, you know, you think that you might understand that somebody gets drunk a lot or somebody has a need to drink a lot and you just think that they're trouble, that's one thing. But if they're part of your family and you can't really avoid them, then part of what you have to really spend time trying to the best you can understand who they are and whatever you might do to be helpful to them and to helpful to the people that they're closest to. So you try to manage it as best you can. And I hope everybody, to the extent that they're capable, tries to drink less and just enjoy more what's going on around you. And I like the idea of attunement, which is if you're really having trouble with somebody that's part of the group that you hang out with, whether it's for a friend or a family member, try harder maybe to be attuned to them and to develop a rapport with them. So maybe you can help them out a little bit when they're feeling really tense and they need to drink more maybe than they should. So anyway, that's my thought.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, as a friend, you sometimes have to step in as a babysitter and to be the third party of like, okay, everybody, listen. And, you know, hopefully there's people in most crowds to do that for somebody else. You know, the buddy system, like, hey.
Right.
And I am not in any sense of the matter any alcohol Nazi now that I don't drink or anything like that. Right. I play music. I go to bars. I am very well versed in overzealous drinking situations. And so, you know, I'm that guy in the crowd. But it's just, I don't know, if there's anybody that's in the, within the sound of my voice that will heed and take in, you know, sort of what I'm saying is, you know, just get, be in control of your faculties at all times as much as possible and think ahead, put some filters in place. You know, that's one thing that I had a problem with was filters. You know, things that would just come flying out of my mouth, exactly what was on the top of my mind at the moment. And it's a sense of, you know, it really comes with age, though. It's taken me a while to get to where I am right now, 45 years, in fact.
Yep.
And so that, you know, just think before you do.
Well, Scotty, thanks so much for the phone call and for the words of wisdom about paying attention. You're somebody who's lived in with some of these issues yourself, and you found some ways to deal with them. And hey, I think you're really right.
If I could also interject in within my conversation here, long live WPKN. WPKN is the soundtrack to my life. I have it on every single radio in my house. In my little wacky transistor radio places. And with this show and the music that I have heard and been turned on to and the people, I mean, you know, Harry Mina is just, I am elated when I hear him come on the air and his wisdom as well. And I'm not going to say sarcasm, but his
sense of humor.
Just his wit. And so I just want to say thank you, WPKN, and right on. That's it.
Thanks so much, Scotty. Wonderful way to end. And happy July 4th to you, and thanks for the call and for the kind words about WPKN, about my show. Appreciate it.
And carry on, sir.
Thank you. Take care now.
Over and out.
Bye-bye. Well, that's a lovely way to begin. I want to thank Scotty for calling in. Anybody else? 203-336-9756. 203-336-9756. That's the number. And we're at the station, and we're enjoying the Emotion Roadmap. Take the wheel and control how you feel. How do you do that, actually? How do you take the wheel and control how you feel? So another thing I was looking at today, and this also just interestingly came from Twitter, and it was an interview with a man named Howard Gardner. And Howard Gardner is this brilliant psychologist at Harvard. And I was fortunate. I had a chance to go to Harvard Graduate School of Education, and I got to meet Howard Gardner. And he was being interviewed, and he was talking about lifelong learning. And he said, you know, he's created the blog on lifelong learning. And I'm sure you can look it up and just go to Howard Gardner, not Gardiner, but Gardner, G-A-R-D-N-E-R, Howard Gardner of Harvard. I'm sure you can probably find his blog. But he's writing about lifelong learning. And he wrote about what the ancient Greeks, when they first wanted to educate, they said, what are the key questions that we have to ask ourselves? And the questions were, I mean, well, you tell me what you think. I think the questions are so relevant today in the world that we live in today. It is, what is truth? What is really truth? What is beauty? And what is good? I mean, don't those questions sound really relevant for today? I mean, I believe they are. I think what is truth is incredibly important. What is beauty? And what is really good? And as part of that, civility was a part of it as well. How do we be civil to one another? I actually had a note. I was looking at something on the WPKN website, and there was a quote from somebody that said that Chuck drives me crazy was the quote, and I think the quote was about sometimes I try to get people to look past differences. The obvious ones are politics, but there's religion, there's liberal, progressive, conservative, libertarian. There's all kinds of things where we might disagree. And I encourage people to try and be civil with one another, even when they do disagree. And it's so hard in today's world. And, you know, when we think about these questions, what is truth, what is beauty, what is good? Boy, I think those are great questions to be talking about but in a civil way, right? What do you think? What do you think? So I have a couple of topics today to talk with you about, because like Scotty said, sometimes I wait for the phone to ring and the phone rings and sometimes it doesn't. So if you want to call, if you've got something in your life that's a challenge for you, that's the main reason I'm on the show. The main reason is something is challenging for you and you're uncertain how to deal with it and you're a bit confused and maybe you're worried about escalating a situation, confronting a situation, and you want some help with that. The idea of taking the wheel and controlling how you feel is to get more certainty, is to become more clear. When people are stuck, when smart people are stuck, good problem solvers, good critical thinkers, I have found when people who are really bright are stuck, it's almost always because something emotional is happening in their lives. And the show, The Emotion Roadmap, is designed to help you to go from feeling uncertain to feeling confident. To help you from being scared to being calm. So it's not just one emotion to another. It's like understanding how an emotion we might be experiencing isn't helpful in our present situation based on what we're trying to get done, and asking ourselves, what would be ideal to feel? What would be better to feel? What would be more useful to feel? And if we can figure that out, and I try to help you with that, if I can help you with that, then what happens next? What happens next is, in helping you with that, we now explore about what are the ways to get from what you are feeling to what would be ideal to feel. And in doing that, we come up with options for you that sometimes it feels like magic happens, and we create an option that for your situation, for your specific situation, that's designed to help you to feel like you now have a clear, unequivocal plan and some hope for your situation. Now, what situations lend themselves to that? Almost anything, really. Anything where there's some emotion in play. But typical ones are difficulties with relatives, a problem with a boss, or as the boss, maybe a problem with a peer of yours, somebody you work alongside, or somebody who works for you. If you're an owner of a company, perhaps you've got something going on with a customer that you're uncertain about how to proceed with. Maybe there's too much pressure and you're feeling overwhelmed. Maybe somebody really disagrees with you and an important issue that you're unclear how to resolve and move forward with. I can't promise you a solution, but I can promise you some insight into what the emotions are that are at play. And I can find ways to help you to think about what you might want to feel that's different than what you are feeling. And that in itself may help guide us to find a possible alternative solution to anything you might be thinking of. It's going to help you out. And in helping you out, when you call in with a specific situation in mind, and I use this emotion roadmap to help guide you, everybody learns about how to use the emotion roadmap. And that's the real design of this show. So I'm hoping if you've been listening, like Scotty has and others who've been listening, I've been on now 7 years or so. So if you've been listening regularly, hopefully you're learning how to use this yourself. And that is, when you start to feel something and you know that the feeling isn't helpful, that you ask yourself, wait a minute, I recognize that this feeling isn't a good one for what I want to get done. What would be better to feel? And how do I get there? And that's what the emotion roadmap's about. So if you got something going on in your life, you'd like to share it, hopefully I can help you with it. And as I'm helping you, everybody who's listening is learning about how to use the emotion roadmap in their own lives. Because, folks, one of the things that struck me many years ago when I was learning about how to be a therapist, I learned about a famous psychologist named Harry Stack Sullivan, who said that, you know, one of the things that is concerning to many of us is something he called the delusion of uniqueness. It's like we're the only one having this problem. How could anybody else possibly know what I'm feeling? Well, you know, the truth is, folks, many of us have had some similar feelings to all the other people out there on the planet. Now, maybe for different reasons, but who hasn't been depressed at one time or another? Who hasn't been really enraged or really angry? Who hasn't been really hurt or embarrassed? Are you even humiliated? So it's not like you're alone out there. And so if you have something going on and you'd like to share it, the number to call is 203-336-9756. And I'll give you a minute to do that if you like. Again, 203-336-9756. I thought since Scotty called, I was going to get a lot of calls today. Maybe not. Anyway, one more time. Here we go. Hi, this is Chuck Wolf. You're on the air. Who am I talking to?
This is Rob.
Rob, how are you doing, Rob? And what can I do for you today?
I was just wondering about how to... I am out of a... I was in a toxic relationship at work with a... like a bully for a boss, and my wife is in a similar situation at her workplace, and how do you deal with a situation and detoxify a relationship with a bully for a boss, basically?
Well, let me say a couple of things to you, Rob, and maybe I'll get a little more specific, but just as a thought for anybody else who might have a similar issue, because, again, obviously you and your wife have experienced something like this, and so you know you're not alone because just the two of you have had that happen, but so have lots of other people. And a lot of people get stuck because, you know, many times you might even like the job, you might like the company, you just don't like the person you're working for because they act like a bully a lot of the time.
Yes, you hit the nail on the head.
So what do you do? How do you compensate for that? So let me give you some general information that I think might be useful outside of this conversation you and I are going to have. And that's that one of the most popular interviews that I've done, because sometimes I don't have call-ins, I have interviews, has been a conversation with a man named Andrew Faas. And the guy's name is spelled F-A-A-S. And not everybody's familiar with technology, but if you have access to the ability to go to the WPKN website and click on podcast, you can find the Emotion Roadmap, and one of the most popular shows that I've done is something called The Emotion Revolution in the Workplace, and it's a conversation with Andrew Faas, who is right now, he's got a foundation going, and he's really an interesting guy. He was actually a bully himself at one time in the workplace. He made a lot of money, I guess, and was very successful, and then got bullied himself. To the place where it was really, really painful for him, and he chose to dedicate the rest of his life to kind of eradicating bullying in the workplace. And the interview is all about the steps and the ideas he has for how people can address this stuff. So, you know, I strongly encourage you, if you can get to SoundCloud or iTunes if you have it, or Stitcher, it's on all those things, but I'd go through the WPKN website and click on podcast and look for The Emotion Revolution in the Workplace. And you can just look at my playlist for Emotion Roadmap and you can hopefully find it. If you don't, I'll make it easy for anybody else that wants to know how to do this. If you got a pencil handy or something you can write something down with? Or even a
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So if you want to email me and just with the request for that link, I can send you a direct link so it's easier than trying to find it through the...
Sure.
And so my email is cjwolfe@cjwolfe.com. So it's cjwolf with an E at cjwolf.com.
Okay, got it.
Okay, so if you can find it, fine. But if you want to email me, and anybody else too that's listening that would like to know how to get to that, it's one of the ones that I do these shows and then I post them up on the podcast, and That's over 400 some people have listened to that show since I had it on the air. So it's a very popular show. But Andrew Foss is working with the Center for Emotional Intelligence at Yale University. And both he and the director, the director of that is a friend of mine, Mark Brackett. And Mark's done some great work with bullying on Facebook on how to deal with it when you're dealing in social media. And so anyway, they're working together, collaborating, and I guess probably they collected a lot of data. And over the next year or two, they're going to start trying to promote things to help people. But, you know, Andrew's, even on the interview, you'll hear some good ideas, but also he's got a book that you may want to read and buy. But, I mean, specifically the way to handle it, like let's that's great outside of this, but the feelings that you have are things that I can help with right now on the phone. That's the idea of the Emotion Roadmap. So one of the things that the Emotion Roadmap does in terms of how it helps, is to have you look at how you're feeling and how you want to feel. And so anytime that a bully is bullying you, obviously the feeling is feeling bullied. But what goes along with that is feeling upset. It's feeling degraded, disrespected. I mean, those are some things that are fairly standard. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, basically, you saved the company millions of dollars, and you're called retarded every day. Basically, you're the first thing that comes in, out of his mouth, and actually using those words, and it got to be so bad, I finally quit.
Yeah.
And then, but I was lucky enough to get a job quite quickly, but I endured it for 14 years. Because there wasn't any other jobs available. But
well, let me ask you a question. While you're sitting there and somebody is calling you a name like that, what's going through your mind? What are you thinking? And how are you feeling when that's happening?
You feel helpless because he's the owner of the company.
Yeah.
You don't know. Yeah, You got nothing to say, because what do you say back to him? I mean, if you need a job,
yeah, this is
your family.
Yeah, I mean, when
you gotta suck it up, basically.
Yeah, that's how a lot of people, I think, address it. Right? It's kind of like you just leave yourself. It's kind of like being in an abusive relationship where you just feel like you can't leave.
Right.
Because you have commitments, and whether the commitments are commitments, emotional commitments, or the commitments financially.
Yeah.
You feel like, hey, this is where I'm making whatever money that I need to make. I don't know where I'm going to make that kind of money, and I don't know how I'm paying my bills if I walk out the door. So it threatens you on a level where you feel like, I don't know if I can even tell him how I'm feeling about this, because if I tell him, what if he says, see you later?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you ever have the conversation with him where you felt like even before you were going, when you knew you might go?
No. Just too scared to do it.
Yeah. So you were able to walk away and find something else pretty quick. And I guess one of the things that people have to ask themselves is to what degree are you able to cope with something like that? I mean, I don't think everybody can do this, but in terms of the Emotion Roadmap, this is one of those things that I think happens at different times. When you get somebody saying something about you that's negative, and you know that it causes you to feel defensive, because that's it's kind of like tapping somebody's knee. It's a defensive mechanism that almost everybody experiences when they hear some negative feedback. You get defensive. I mean, it may not be your last reaction. It may be just like, hey, okay, let me get past what I just felt when you said that and think about what you said, because maybe there's something meaningful in it. Not when somebody's calling you retired, of course, but sometimes.
Well, that's basically it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's nothing to get, to think about there. But, sometimes there is when people are giving you feedback that you may not want to hear.
Yeah.
But let's assume that you're getting this kind of feedback, someplace, and your wife still is, I guess. And the question becomes, how hard a shell can you form?
Right.
Right? Because part of this is like, when, there was a famous psychologist named Albert Ellis, and he said, an action happens. Somebody calls you a name. Somebody insults you. you have a belief about that action, and then that belief influences how you think, how you feel, and how you behave.
Mm-hmm.
What if the belief is, what if you challenge the belief? What if you said, you know what, I know this guy says this to me all the time, but I also know that I saved him millions of dollars, and I know he's an idiot for saying that, but I'm not going to tell him he's an idiot because I need to keep the job. But I also am not going to allow this to have the kind of impact on me that it's having.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse to give him that kind of power over me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the concept of the emotion roadmap. Not that everybody can do this.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea is I want to form a thick shell. So I don't, I mean, when he says things like this, I just go into like a turtle and pull myself in, and I'm not feeling it at all. Now, right. Again, I recognize that most people can't do that.
Right.
But, you know, it's a funny thing, because I do really believe it's true that the words themselves don't hurt. It's how we interpret those words, how we allow those words to make us feel that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some control we have over this that we don't usually think about. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So part of this is, I mean, and maybe in your mind you play a game with it, which is like every time he does it, you know, the thoughts that you're having about him, I mean, almost like make you smile because they're so, you know, it's so yeah, ridiculous,
rude.
Right?
Yeah, it's rude, basically.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's rude.
But you know what? It's really stupid on his part.
Yeah.
I mean, it's even not, it goes past rude and it's just stupid. Here's somebody who's saving him a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he's insulting to what purpose? Right.
It's, I think, a feeling of power on his part. I don't know. You know.
So, I mean, to me, you're out of the situation, but your wife's still in it. So, to the extent that she has a routine that she adopts that shelters her, protects her from any kind of, you know, criticism that is really just an example of disrespectful behavior that has nothing to do with reality.
Right.
That's different than a legitimate feedback that says, you know, you could have done this differently, and here's what I'm thinking and why. I mean, again, you have to separate it out. It isn't like you turn against all feedback. But stuff where you're being bullied, it seems to me this protective outer coating is what, for everybody that's listening, you got to understand that people don't define you. People don't define you. They may try and define you, but if you allow them to, they can define you. But it's your choice about how you react that makes the difference.
Right.
And that's the power in this idea of a roadmap. Now, obviously, what you decided was at some point, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
You know, and I can afford at this moment. Now, sometimes you have no choice, by the way. I mean, I got to say to people that sometimes your mental health, as much as you think you got your financial bills that you got to pay and you want to stay there, sometimes your mental health maybe is at great risk.
Yeah, well, what happened was I got so upset. My wife said, "You're quitting this job on Friday, whether you have another job or not." And so happened that I lucked out and there was another job.
Yes.
And it was a beautiful... It was a stroke of luck.
Well, it was
and
more than
a happy place to work.
It's more than just luck, I think, because your wife was supportive.
Yeah,
and that's another big piece of the puzzle, right?
Right.
Because your wife said, "You know what? I don't want you at risk, and I'm afraid you're at risk because you can't. That shell isn't working for you anymore."
No, it wasn't.
And so, you know, more power. Yeah, I think the luck is having the wife you have.
Yeah, well, the other thing is now what can I do to support her?
Right, right. You know, now, again, because you chose that route doesn't mean she has to. If she's, if one of the things you can do is just encourage her, support her, you know, have a little fun with how crazy the other person is. I mean, part of this is it feels so heavy all the time. These kind of conversations. But if you can joke about what a jerk and what a disrespectful nutcase this other guy is, and you can have a little laugh about it, that lightens the load a little bit.
Yeah.
But mostly, if you can encourage her not to allow herself to be defined by somebody who's this obnoxious, why give that power to somebody who's such an ass?
Exactly.
And get mad at yourself for allowing any feelings of humiliation or upset or embarrassment to come from what this person says about me when I know it's not true. So, I mean, that's the best help I can give you on that. And by the way, I'd encourage you to get the book.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it has other ideas, but the most important one, I think, is what we're talking about, which is how do you define yourself?
Right.
One of the things I had to learn a long time ago in the work that I do is that not everybody's going to be a fan. And if I get somebody that's not a fan, sure, I mind that they're not a fan, that I didn't reach them. But if I know I've done a good job and they're upset because of something going on inside of them, I don't let them impact me the way it used to.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've just done what I just told you about. I had to learn how to create that shell that said, look, if somebody's got something legitimate to say to me, and I recognize that, hey, you know, I could have done that better, and they're right, thank you very much for the gift of the feedback. Seriously, that's the way I want to address that. But if you're just calling me out because you don't like the fact that I'm saying, hey, we should, and this is the case here, sometimes I'm saying we should be civil to one another, even when we disagree, and how crazy so many people are with the polarization today. Some people get upset by me saying we should be civil to each other when there's no reason to be civil. Well, I don't agree.
Right.
And that might make you a little crazy, and I'm sorry about that, but I just think civility is like, it's kind of like a foundation for me.
Yes.
You know, so so I think hopefully that's helpful to you, Ron.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Excellent. And then I'll get that book.
Okay, and if you want the link to the radio, again.
I'll look it up.
Okay, great. Good talking to you.
Yep, thank you.
You betcha.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye now. Okay, great. So a couple of good conversations. Thanks, folks. Anybody else want to call? We got some time. 203-336-9756. 203-336-9756. So the couple of topics we've talked about already is drinking on the holidays and drinking at a party or drinking a little too much or maybe way too much. And how do you handle that, and how do you be smarter than that if it's you that's been doing the drinking? But if you happen to be there and be witness to it, you know, what are your strategies? And also, what happens when you get bullied at work and you're in a toxic environment? How do you deal with that? So those are two really good conversations for the Emotion Roadmap. And again, the concept is, how are you feeling? How do you want to feel? How do you get from how you are feeling to what you want to feel? And so we're talking about that in the ways that we're addressing those two different situations. So again, the number is 203-336-9756. So, I'm waiting for you to call, again, I'll give you the number, 203-336-9756. So there's something else I wanted to talk about this morning. And what I did talk about was this idea of attunement. When you go beyond just a moment of empathy, and you really want to get to have a rapport with somebody, pay special attention to that person. What motivates them? What upsets them? What drives them? What do they care most about? What do they value? Not just what they say, but when you watch them behave, what does that tell you about what they value? Why do people call people other people names? Why do people do that? Because you're trying to understand another person. Don't just be judgmental. Try to be empathetic for a longer period of time rather than just a moment. If you really want to build a rapport with somebody. That was Dan Goldman's quote that I saw this morning on Twitter. And then I talked about Howard Gardner a little bit about this idea of three great questions that I think are really critical for today, as well as they were when the ancient Greeks first started to talk about education. They said, what is truth? What is beauty? And what is good? I think those questions are, again, foundational, aren't they? Truth, beauty, and goodness. So let me tell you a little bit about what I thought was really good this past few days. So we had a chance to help out my daughter and son-in-law and our grandchildren because they just moved into a new home. And my wife Barbara and I went down and we visited with them, and we were helping them out. you know, helping them to organize and unpack boxes and take care of the kids while they were busy trying to, you know, work with the movers and get things unpacked and put up on shelves and decide where things need to go. And, you know, this, if you've moved at all, you know, it's a big job, and especially big when you have young children, and our grandkids are young. And one of the things that we did was, we stayed at a hotel. There was no place to stay in their home at this point because they're just trying to figure everything out. So we stayed in a hotel close by, and it was a lovely hotel. And I'll tell you about the hotel because I really don't mind promoting it because everybody was terrific there. It's the Woodcliff Lake Hotel in New Jersey. Woodcliff Lake. It's a Hilton hotel in New Jersey. And I have to say, everybody that we met and had any interactions with were great there. The food was great. The room was great. I mean, pretty much most everything was really, really good. But anyway, one of the things they have is an outdoor pool, and they keep it heated at like 84 degrees. And sometimes, you know, if you're going to be, maybe if you're going for a lap swim and you're looking for that kind of pool, it's not that. But for a family and for someone who just wants to be able to walk into the water and not feel like, oh, it's cold, it was the kind of water that the kids could go into easily, and so could we as adults. And one of the things that happened is my grandson, he's 6 years old, and he's learning about swimming. You know, he's been taking swimming lessons over the last few summers, and he's made a few strides. And last year, he kind of got to the point where he was swimming without floaties. But, you know, it's been, he hasn't really had any swimming lessons since last summer, and he hasn't done a lot of swimming because, you know, it just it only got warm pretty recently. So he was in the pool with me. I was in the pool with him, and we were playing, if you know the game Marco Polo, it's kind of a fun game. One person is it. You close your eyes and you say Marco, and the other people in the game say Polo, and you got to try and find him without opening your eyes. Anyway, it's a fun game. But I also hoped that I could work with him a little bit on swimming. And he would try and swim, and this is without the floaties on. He'd try and swim. He'd swim like two or three strokes, and his feet would go down. And so one of the things that struck me was he wasn't believing in himself. And because I really think and believe that all of us, every human, can swim. But you have to believe in yourself that you're capable of swimming. If you're comfortable putting your head in water and you can just, you know, just sit there for a few moments, you know, and relax, chances are you're floating. And if you're comfortable floating with your head in the water, holding your breath, you're not afraid of swimming. Now, trying to convince somebody to do this who is scared of the water, that's not an easy thing to do. But what I said to him, and, you know, every once in a while, I feel like, you know, the Grateful Dead's that wonderful quote, sometimes the light's all shining on me, other times I can barely see. I've had moments of both in recent times. But anyway, this was a moment where the light was shining on me because I felt like if I could just convince him to believe in himself and to believe that he could swim, just like everybody can swim, you just have to believe in yourself. That once you believe in yourself, and you can swim to me, and let's just take a few strokes. And I'd stand just a few feet from where he was at the, you know, at the wall of the pool. And I'd say, I'm just 3 feet away or something. Just swim to me here. And he did. I said, okay. Is it okay if I step back a step? He said, okay, yes. Because, you know, it's competitive and he wanted to do better. And so I stepped back a step. And I said, okay, swim to me here. Just keep believing in yourself. And he did. And he kept swimming farther and farther. And then I wanted him to swim across the pool, and he couldn't quite make across the pool. But then I actually was playing with my granddaughter for a moment, and he, on his own, swam across the pool. Just once, but he knows he can do it. And I thought to myself, you know, there are so many times when so many of us are frightened about diving in the pool and believing we can swim. But it isn't about swimming right now. What I want to say to all of you who are listening is that sometimes there are moments when what matters most is our ability to believe in ourselves, is in our ability to believe in ourselves, or maybe in somebody else believing in us. I mean, if you listen to the person who just called, he said it was Rod. You know, if you listen to him, one of the things that his wife said was, you know what? You're not going back into that environment whether you have a job or not. I remember I was, there was a big layoff in the company I worked with many years ago, and I was one of the people in that spot where I was getting laid off, and I was approached by the company, and they said something to the effect that, you know what, Chuck, if you want to stay, we're allowing a few people to stay. We can't promise you the same grade level or the same salary, but, you know, there are a few of you that were making this available in case you want to stay in the company. And I thought to myself, you know, you're giving me a really good severance package now, because I was an executive in the company. What's the, say I'm going to be an executive next year and you decide again that this is an area you're going to lay off. I think I'm good with the severance package. Thanks anyway. But part of that was because I also had a spouse, a wife, my wife Barbara, who believed in me and believed I was capable of earning as much or more, and that the severance package would allow me to go off and actually fund the beginning of my own consulting business, which it actually did. But so much depends on the idea of believing in yourself and having others believe in you. So I wanted to share that story with you because I watched it with him. And I also didn't push it. You know, I said, after he got tired, you know, there's a certain point where the learning has to just, you take a break. Okay. I'd say to him when he tried to swim back, I'd say, okay, you know, walk back. Save your strength for when you're trying to come across again. And then afterwards, I said, okay, well, you know, he wanted to play this Marco Polo game. I said, okay, we'll put your floaty on and we'll play Marco Polo. And you know, the learning was over. But the learning had been powerful and he won't forget it. He's actually starting swimming lessons back up again tomorrow. And he's going to go into that swimming lesson knowing that he can swim. He can't swim that far yet, but he can swim. He can keep his head above water. He can get his arms out of that water. He can kick and cause the waves to splash. He can do it. So I encourage all of you who are listening to be more about believing in yourself and believing in those you care most about, whether it's somebody at work that's, you know, somebody that you want to help to realize whatever potential they have in the workplace, whether it's a child at home about school and about grades, whether it's about relationships. Just part of this is really believing in yourself that you're capable of forming a good relationship, that you're capable of learning new skills, whether they're in mathematics or they're in gymnastics, that whether you believe in your ability and you have other people who believe in you. How powerful is that? So, we've had an interesting show today in terms of the kind of things we talked about. I've got a little bit more time. Time for one last call if anybody wants to call. 203-336-9756. Hi, this is Chuck. You're on the air. Who am I talking to, please?
Oh, hi, Chuck. I just want to tell you that I really, it's the first time I've heard you, and I just happened to have stepped out for lunch and turned on my radio, and I really, really enjoy your show. I don't know. It's really spoken to me a lot today. And I was wondering if you could maybe, before you sign off, you know, tell us your name again and maybe the book that you were referring to when you were speaking to the gentleman about workplace bullying.
Sure. Couple things. So my name is Chuck Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. The actual interview was on SoundCloud. At least that's the easiest way for me to find it. And it's called The Emotion Revolution in the Workplace. And I think that's the same title of the book. I know I say the name of the book in the podcast, but if you want to email me, I'll give you my email again in case you don't find it that way. And I can get the book title for you. But anyway, it's Andrew Faas, F-A-A-S, and The Emotion Revolution in the Workplace. He's written a couple of books about this. And the he also has a website, too, that you can go to. So if you look him up, you'll find the book as well. But if you want to email me, it's cjwolfe@cjwolfe.com. And I didn't get your name, but you don't have to give it. But I just want to say thank you very much for the phone call. And hope you get to listen again.
Okay, thank you very much, Chuck.
You betcha now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that's great. So the times I'm on are 12 to 1. I'm part of this community strip at WPKN that's on 12 to 1 p.m. from Monday through Friday. There's different people on at different times. Mostly this is about emotional and mental health on Wednesdays, with the exception of the fifth Wednesday of the month. But mostly it's about, there's LGBTQ on the fourth Wednesday, and there's Kathy on the third Wednesday, and on the fifth Wednesday, Kevin on Digging in the Dirt. But I'm on the first and second Wednesdays of the month from 12 to 1 p.m., and the show's called The Emotion Roadmap. Take the wheel and control how you feel. And I'm Chuck Wolf. So it's been a pleasure being with you today. And I want to thank the phone callers and for the kind words about the show and about WPKN and how much people enjoy listening. It's a wonderful place to be, and I know that all of you who are listening know that already. But we're so glad to be able to be here. And again, we had a really good year. And also want to say a shout out to the fans that I have. I have some fans that watch this show on YouTube, because this is also filmed for Simsbury, where I live, Simsbury, Connecticut, community television, and they show the show a couple of times a week up there. So there's different ways you can see. You can see it on YouTube as well. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. I really appreciate it.